Oh, there you are. Welcome to Aspire Radio, what we like to call Satsang. I'm so deeply grateful you chose to be with me. This program is for May the 11th, 2019, and it's entitled Why? I get a lot of why questions. And, of course, you know, the old commercial, why I ask why. So I am going to hopefully be able to answer some questions regarding our whys. And, you know, we all have whys from time to time. So I hope this really helps you. I really do. These radio programs, as you know, are here because of sponsorship, because there are people out there who do deeply care about this world and people like you that listen to this radio program. And they make it possible through their tax-deductible gift, either monthly or quarterly. And I'm very grateful that they do. I really am. And I want to thank them. And I hope that you, the listening audience who are not sponsors, will give it a go. If you go to the website at aspire.org, down at the bottom of the page, you will see why support Aspire. If you read it, it will tell you all about Aspire, where your donations go, the tax deductible gift, the receipts, and the benefits you get, the message of the month, access to my podcast, video cast, and commentaries. And if you're really into inner work and you see the validity of it and the need for it in your own life, I think you'll find this absolutely essential. The point of view that I offer is a little different than most teachers, and maybe this will be something that will spur you on and help you move forward in your life. Go to the website, if you would, please, www.aspire.org. The word why comes up over and over and over again. Why this, why that? When I'm talking to people who are outside the practice, why would you do this? Why would you do that? What's in this for you? How come, you know, blah, blah, blah. So when I get all of these questions and emails from people, they're often at the bottom of the page after they've given me some kind of question. And then they always ask something like, why do you do this? Why is this important? What will I get from this? Blah, blah, that kind of thing. And everybody wants something for their shillings, something that benefits them in some way or another. So I try very much with people to help them understand the nature of the work. You have to be a different kind of person, a different elk of person to do inner work, authentic inner work. If you don't do authentic inner work and you have no elk to do it, then you can't do it, you won't do it, and it's this lifetime will be just one more where you live in the pedestrian mentality. So what I try to do here on radio and with my students is show you an alternative to that. You have to see it for yourself. I can't talk you into it. I can't make you understand it. Blah, blah, blah. You get that, right? Okay, good. Just so you get it. First question comes from Don, D-O-N, Don, and he lives in Los Angeles. I drive, I eat, I work, and talk to people all day long. Wow, that's a lot. We all do, I guess. Why are people so challenging? They seem difficult. Don. Oh, Don. Don, go away. Well, no, I won't sing that to you, but oh, Don. You ask a question. I think people have always been kind of challenging, okay? But now they're overt. And they're overt because of the political climate in this country. Our president has opened up Pandora's box and said, hey, look, be true to yourself. Be yourself. Make America great. Be whatever you are, whether it be, you know, racial or prejudicial or whatever. Be whatever you are. And, you know, it was an interesting thing to me, Don. I read this weekend that the majority of the American public do not want the president impeached. And the same majority believe that he lied to the American public. Now, what does that tell you about the American public? What does that say? You know, everybody is complaining about Trump, but the true thing is Trump's only doing the will of the people. It is always we, the people, that are the problem. And so now Pandora's box is open. We don't care about the character or the integrity of the man or even the office. Do you remember, Don, I don't know how old you are, many, many years ago when Bill Clinton got impeached for a blowjob? Do you remember that? And everybody was in an uproar. While he didn't have to leave office, you know, they still impeached him. Do you think the same would be true here today? We know that Trump has had affairs with porn stars, etc. And this occurred even when his wife was pregnant, and on and on it goes. Do we care? No. The character of the American public is really interesting to me. They have none. And it is a small group of people on the West Coast and on the East Coast that seem to care about this whole thing. The rich have gotten richer. Those who are in the middle class and lower have gotten poorer. And there we are. We all think these crazy thoughts, Don. Let me give you one. I read the other day that millennials are deluded. They think they're going to eventually become millionaires. I read it. It was in the Chronicle, the San Francisco Chronicle. Now, how they come up with this, I do not know. They were raised poorly by their parents for the most part. They're addicted to their devices for the most part. They have a lot of personal issues for the most part. So now we're looking at this whole thing of our life and the meaning of our life from what point of view? Why are people challenging? All of this is in the mix. We have no character. We have no soul. It isn't about making America great again. It was never great. It was always at war from the moment it was organized. And it's always going to be at war. And it's not because we sell Tupperware. There is a lot of ugly things that are done behind the public's back. But the public is okay with that, as you can tell by the idea that they support the president and his mischief. And we think that that's perfectly okay. We just want to be protected. A lot of very middle class and upper middle class people have just become wealthier. It's all about the whole reason we became a country in the first place. We've now become the enemy we said we wanted liberation from. And all of this is not political. It is spiritual. So, Don, people are challenging and contrary because they have no soul. They have no character. They have no true inner independence from their DNA. And their DNA scares the living heck out of them. Scares them. So this DNA that we have, which is, you know, to survive and fight for survival and all of that, we call it patriotism, call it a lot of different things that it's not. And we just live according to the manner of our glands, our genetics, our biology, our chemistry. We are not interested in anything spiritual at all. Not at all. I have students that are this way. They're not interested in really anything spiritual. They try here and there. They kind of know they should. They're kind of leftovers from the 50s and 60s and 70s that say, you know, we should be, you know, have some reverence towards God, that kind of thing. I've had them, but they're not really interested in their life. They're interested in what they can get out of life. and they want to seize the moment of life and think that they can go out there and get everything they want, and that's the great American dream and a fulfilled life, to have all the treasures around them. It reminds me of the old story. It does. I can't help it. Of the king that was so insecure that he had a room built where there were no windows and only one door, and all of his riches were in that room, and he locked himself in that room and sealed the door, and now there he was alone with his treasures. That was it. And he died in there. That's the way people are. They die in the thing that they think they most need and want. And they are not liberated to understand the virtue of what it means to let love literally live them. It's just not in the cards for them. It's not something they're interested in at all. So that is the issue. The issue is that we just let our desires, our body, our DNA, and our genetic nature run the show. And when a person wakes up eventually and sees what they have done and what they are doing to themselves, when they understand the nature of their human psyche and they no longer want to participate in that because they see that they're going to, so to speak, keep everything going the way it is, running in this challenging, contrary way in a part of a society that is very contrary and self-absorbed, then maybe they want to change. You can tell the temperament of people by the way they drive. You can tell the temperament of the majority of human beings by the way they drive and how polite or whatever they are with each other. And Don, I don't know, you know, how it is in L.A. right now, because I haven't been to L.A. in years, but I am sure you understand this very well. Thank you for your beautiful question, Don, and please forgive my political overtones. Namaste. I am not a political person. Believe me, I'm not. I'm interested in politics for the sole purpose of understanding the masses. That's what fascinates me. And I agree with what Hitler said, the masses are asses, and I do agree with that. I don't know if he really said that, but that's what I heard years ago. You get a group of people together and they lose their individuality, and oh my goodness. Okay, the next one comes from Joyce. I don't know where she lives. She doesn't tell me. Why is fear and hate so prevalent in the world today? It seems that it is growing by leaps and bounds, Joyce. And Joyce, thank you for your comments about Passing Through the Fires. I'm grateful. She watched the TV program I made about Passing Through the Fires. It's about spirituality and what it means to really go in depth in spiritual work. Fear and hate are the antidote for fear and hate. That's how stupid we are. I just want to make that clear. The reason fear and hate is so important to us is because we think that is the best way to deal with our fear and hate. Hate never yet dispelled hate, the Buddha said. Only love dispels hate, he said. But who wants love? I mean, when you really think about it, who gives a darn about love? Most people don't. People think love is emotion. So as long as love is attributed to emotionality, you're not going to find any change in yourself or in this world, and everything is going to stay status quo. Okay? That's just the way it is. Love has nothing to do with Greg Penn emotionality. Love has to do with a quality of consciousness. And when you talk to people with all they have to do in a day, and all the things that they have to do to earn a living, they're not going to turn around and add this one last thing to their daily schedule of meditation and contemplation, inner work. It's not on anybody's bucket list, let me tell you. I have never heard somebody make a bucket list who wanted spiritual awakening. It isn't going to happen. And because the motivation is not there, and because people are getting more and more hardened by their attitudes, their cynicism, their opinions. Because if you walk up to the average person, we did this on Aspire years ago, walk up to a person, had them on camera, and ask them, do you care about the state of your health? Yes. Do you care about the happiness of your family? Yes. Do you care about the state of your spiritual acuity?
What do you mean?
Well, do you care about being...
Oh, I am. I go to church, sometimes here and there.
That was it. Basically, it's at the bottom of the list. When we asked how much time should you spend on your state of your soul, your spirituality, people said, I don't have time.
I wish I had more time.
That's what I heard over and over and over again. Yes, people are not very bright. And we get stupider and stupider with our devices. And the powers that be that are running the show here are telling people to ignore everything that would truly change this world. We don't need a revolution in the world. We need first a revelation within us and a revolution within us. Both have to be within us. But greed wins out. Fear wins out. Hate wins out. And Joyce, as I said to Don, we have a government now. Well, we've always had a government that was like this, but more pronounced politically speaking. We have more ambitious men and women who just want to do what they want to do to line their pockets. Please remember, people do not run for office because they're noble. They don't. They just want to get their snout in the public trough. That's all it's about. They don't live by the same rules you and I do. So they'll say anything they can to get you to believe that they'll do what you want them to do, which is have some equality here, but that's not what it's all about. They run for office the minute they get into office. The whole system is not very good, and we let ourselves be run by it. It causes us a great deal of difficulty and issues of mental illness, and I think a lot of people are mentally ill now, a lot of them. And Joyce, I've seen this more and more in my work. Even as my students grow older, and some have been with me for a long time, they battle against their genetic nature. Their genetics are pounding at the door telling them, you know, you're going to die. You better, withdraw, hide or whatever. And they turn into grumps and they turn into alcoholics and they turn into angry people just like their forefathers did. And you know, when you start to look at it, well, you ask why fear and hate is so prevalent in the world. It's because everybody's in fear and hate. Monkey see, monkey do. That's the way it is here in the United States and in the world. Monkey see, monkey do. You see other people doing it, it gives you permission to do it. We live not at a conscious level, Joyce. We live in the unconscious. And that is connected to... the collective unconscious. And before you know it, you're swimming with the sharks, as it were. And it is a very, very painful and ugly event that we are in. It is very, very painful to think that most people live in this manner, but they do. Everybody is led to believe that they're individuals. People think because they wear clothes this way or because they have... wealth or they have something that they think is unique that makes them special, that they're not a part of the collective, but we are. Again, the deepest revolution is the revelation that only love changes people. Only love can heal what is broken within us. It isn't about others. It's about me and thee. So Joyce, you and I must want love more than wanting what we think is love, our opinion of love, our ideal of love. If we don't do that, everything stays the same. And most people, I have to tell you, Joyce, that I meet at hospice and around town here are too lazy, self-confident, and arrogant as to think that they could think that their poop don't stink. It does. It really does. Please forgive me. Namaste. And the last question. This is from Carrie in Los Angeles. Why don't we all just want to love and meditate? Carrie. Carrie, you must be an idealist or something, or very, very young. I don't know how old you are. People don't want to take the time. They think it's ridiculous. They think it's meaningless. They think they don't need it. They think that they're very special and that meditation and inner work is the occult. They don't get it. They think if you sit there and meditate, you're a hippie. I have this waitress that waits on us every Saturday when we go to breakfast together after discourse, and she thinks that we're the hippie group because we meditate. She's how old is she? She's early 40s, and she thinks we're, you know, how do you... When I was her age, meditation was something you did because it might change you. It might set you free, you know? It was something you did because it was intriguing. It was a discipline. It was something that would have brought about personal change and point of view. All those people that I'm talking about never meditated, but it was an opinion, you know? It was something that was regarded as healthy, but not anymore. It isn't relevant to people who want wealth and money and power and prestige and accoutrement and all the things that they want that will make them, well, independent of other people and a higher class of people. That's the way individuals think. So people are so busy trying to cram in everything they want before they die, the old bucket list idea, that meditation isn't on that bucket list. It never be. People don't want to work on themselves. How embarrassing and insulting to find out you're not the person you thought you were. How embarrassing and insulting. Do you realize all the insults you have to go through inside yourself to find out that you're a putz, that you're no better than anyone else? Nobody wants to hear that. Nobody wants to transcend, because that would be, ooh, spooky. What if they're wrong? What if you go to hell? What if you're evil? What if you're, you know, superstition, stupidity and superstition really have a lot to do with what goes on in inner work and with people. So that's why we're not very bright. We aren't. And the more we watch TV, the more you interact with people that are, what shall we say, frightened and in great panic about their life themselves, who live for the outside of the world, who live for the outer accoutrements of living with money, power, and prestige, the less you're going to want to do it. Because the collective unconscious is very infectious, and it infects people with attitudes, beliefs, and ideals that money, power, and prestige are what life is all about. And if you don't have them, you can't have family, you can't have people around you, you can't mature, you can't grow, you won't grow, you'll just, you know, be a part of some occult group, and you will... they'll take all your money and you'll be left homeless and helpless. And oh, this stuff is ridiculous. I mean, it's so stupid. It's hard for me to talk about it. And to be honest with you, over the years of my life as a teacher, some 47 years or so, I never thought people would be dummied down to the place they are now. I really never thought that could happen. How wrong I have been. I gotta get out of here. Hope that helped, Carrie. Please forgive me. Namaste. Well, there you are, huh? Why? I hope it helped you. Probably didn't. But for those of you who are listening with an open heart, maybe a mind that is a little different than the collective, you know what I'm talking about. I'll be back on the air tomorrow if you can stomach it. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.